1 Kings chapter 17. Sermon 3 by Paul C. Jong. God who brings dead life back to life. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 24. And Elijah the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward, and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance, and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." 1 Kings chapter 17 shows how God dealt with the Israel of Ahab's days. Ahab counted it a light thing to follow the sin of Jeroboam, and brought the worship of Baal and Asherah deep into Israel. The nation that ought to have served God left God and became a nation serving idols. So God sent Elijah and had him proclaim that no rain would fall. But this chapter does not end as a mere story of famine. God fed Elijah at the brook Cherith, kept the flour and the oil from running out at the house of the widow of Zarephath, and at the last brought a dead child back to life. This flow shows clearly what kind of God he is. God is not only the one who gives rain to the dry land, but the God who brings dead life back to life. The limits of man revealed in the famine. The widow of Zarephath was going through the age of famine with her whole body. She had only a handful of flour and a little oil left. She was at such a dead end that she meant to eat one last meal with her son and die. This woman had no strength, no one to lean on, and no future in sight. Yet God sent Elijah to that very house. This shows that the grace of God is not built on human plenty. God is not one who uses only those who have much. God meets the person who knows he cannot live by his own strength, the person who lowers his heart before the word. This woman heard Elijah's word and first made a small cake and brought it to the servant of God. Then, as God had promised, the bin of flour was not used up, and the jar of oil did not run dry. The famine continued, but in that house there was God's provision. The world was drying up, but the house that believed the word of God was alive. But the problem that remained was deeper. Food was supplied to the house of the widow of Zarephath. But after a while, a greater thing struck that house. The woman's son fell sick, and his breath left him. The gaining of food to eat had not solved every problem. Now the problem of death visited that house. This shows what man's fundamental problem is. Even with food to eat, before the problem of death, a man has no strength at all. Though he has material things, religious forms, and human comfort, before sin and death, he cannot save himself. What a person truly needs is God, who gives life again. The widow of Zarephath said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 18. In the face of death, a person comes to think of his sin. Sin and death cannot be separated. Sin entered into man, and as the result of sin, death came. Therefore, the salvation a person needs is not mere comfort or the improvement of circumstances, but the remission of sin and life. Elijah, who stretched himself out on the dead child, Elijah carried the child up to the upper room where he was staying, and he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord. God heard Elijah's prayer and made the child's soul come back into his body. The child came to life. What matters here is not that Elijah himself had the power to give life. Life belongs to God. Elijah was a servant entrusted with the word of God, and God revealed his will through him. God did not merely give the widow of Zarephath flour and oil. He made her know who the God is who brings the dead to life. This event makes us look toward the salvation that would be completed in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth to save us from sin and death. And by receiving baptism from John, he took the sins of the world upon his own body. Carrying those sins, he was hung on the cross and received the judgment. And by rising again from death, he gave us true life. Therefore, the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not a doctrine that merely covers over sin, but the power of God that gives life to the soul that lay under sin and death. True faith leads us to know the Word of God. After the child came to life, the widow of Zarephath said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. This confession is important. The widow had already experienced the grace of the flour and the oil that did not run out. But through the event of her son coming back from death, she came to know more clearly the truthfulness of the Word of God. The purpose for which God shows grace to a person does not lie only in improving his circumstances. God makes us know that His Word is true. And He makes us know that the truth delivered through the mouth of the servant He has raised up is the Word that gives people life. It is the same today. People seek comfort within religion and ask for material blessing. But what God most wants us to know clearly is the truthfulness of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. He wants us to believe that these words are true, that Jesus took charge of our sins by receiving baptism from John, that He received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and that He rose again from death and gave us new life. We must come to life from spiritual death. The son of the widow of Zarephath actually died and came to life again. But this event makes us look at our own souls today. The person who does not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit, even though he claims to believe in God, lives carrying his sin in his heart just as it is. If he knows only the cross of Jesus and does not know that Jesus took charge of sin with the baptism he received from John, he does not know how sin was passed on to Jesus, then the sins of the heart go unresolved, and his faith stays within guilt and the repetition of repentance. God wants such souls to come to life, just as he sent Elijah to turn back the Israel that had fallen into idols in the days of Ahab. So today God has the gospel of the water and the Spirit preached and brings dead souls to life. The person who hears and believes this gospel of the water and the Spirit comes to know how his sins were passed on to Jesus. He also comes to know why the cross was necessary. And he comes to believe that Jesus rising again from death is the event that gave him new life. The servant of God is used in the work of delivering life. Before Ahab, Elijah proclaimed the judgment of God. At the brook Cherith, he experienced the provision of God, and in the house of the widow of Zarephath, he revealed the power of God who gives life. All these things were not meant to exalt Elijah as an individual. God, through Elijah, turned people's hearts back to God. This is also the work entrusted to the servants of God and the church in this age: to preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit to people, so that souls dead in sin come to life. This work is not done by human wisdom or ability. It is a work God does through the Word. But God delights to accomplish this work through His servants and His church. Therefore, the person who has believed the gospel of the water and the Spirit must not be a person who has saved himself alone and ends there. Just as the work of life came to the house of the widow of Zarephath, so we must pass this word of life on to other souls. We must join our hearts to the work of testifying to the gospel of the water and the Spirit, so that those dead in idols and false faith may hear the word of God and come to life. God is greater than death. 1 Kings chapter 17 shows God who is greater than famine, greater than poverty, greater than death. God feeds even by ravens, keeps a family alive for many days, even with a handful of flour and a little oil, and brings even a dead child back to life. Therefore, our faith must not be held captive to circumstances. Our faith must stand on God, the owner of life, and on the gospel of the water and the Spirit he has completed. Jesus Christ came to bring to life us who lay under sin and death. By receiving baptism from John, he took charge of our sins on the cross. He received the judgment of those sins. And by rising again from death, he gave us eternal life. The person who believes this gospel of the water and the Spirit receives the remission of sin and becomes one who has come alive before God. Just as the widow of Zarephath confessed that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24, we too must stand within the faith that the word of God is true. And we must believe that this word is the power of God that brings dead souls to life. Even today, God brings those dead in sin to life through the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The person who is used in this work of life is a truly blessed person.